Beruchim Abayim Rabotai. Welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. B'simanat Taba. We are beginning yet again another cycle, Be'azet Hashem, of the Torah Kedusha, starting with Perashat Bereshit. You never get a full week to prepare for Perashat Bereshit. Perashat Bereshit always falls out after the Hagim. In this case over here, we just finished some Simchat Torah yesterday, which was Wednesday, and already we're holding by Thursday, Friday, so you only have 2 days to prepare for Parashat Bereshit, and you never get more than that, because it's always after Simchat Torah, and Shabbat usually follows it a couple of days later, and there's a reason for that. Because every other Parashah, they give you a week. Because it's possible that in a week's time, you might get something. But Parashat Bereshit, even if you study it for 1,000 years... you're not going to touch even the Kutso Shel Yud. You're not going to even get to scratch the surface. So it doesn't matter if you get a week. It'll take 2 days, 1 day, it doesn't matter. That's the depth of this week's parasha. It's beyond. The Ramban, you'll take note, in the beginning of the parasha, he surrenders from the get-go. That it's beyond us, it's Ma'aseh Bereshit, it's Nistar, even the Pshat is Nistar. So we come to this parasha very humbled. Even though our children will come home from yeshiva tomorrow and they understand this parasha the easiest. And I'll tell you what was created on the first day, on the second day. They have no problems with it. And ironically, when we want to say that something is very simple, we use Parashat Bereshit as, it's a Bereshit. It's like Aleph Bet. Ironically, it's the exact opposite. There's nothing more complex or more complicated or more technical or more difficult than this Parasha. Every single Pasuk is laid in with many questions and many commentary, and just to understand the simple Pshat, what's taking place. Tonight I want to introduce a new concept that I don't know if we ever used in the Shi'ur. This is the concept of Simuchim. The Gemara says on the Pasuk, Simuchim la'ad le'olam asuyim be'emet v'yashar. There's a concept that not only are we able to be Doresh, the Pesukim of the Torah, as they are, but we also have a right to be Doresh Simuchim, which means, why is this Pasuk next to that Pasuk? What's the connection between the two Pesukim, the juxtaposition between the two Pesukim? And we see this many times in the Gemara. The Gemara will ask, Lama Nishmecha Parashazu LeParashazu? Now, that's what makes Torah unique, because in other fields of study, you cannot give a derasha on why the two articles are next to each other. Lehavdil, but if somebody's reading the New York Times, lehavdil, I'm not giving you any ideas. But you can understand the article, let's say, for face value. But you can ask, why did the publisher of the New York Times put this article next to the article to the left of it, or on the bottom of it, or on the top? That's just because they want to fit the news in the most easy way possible, where they can fit the most words on the page. It's got nothing to do that one article is connected to the next. And no study is like that. Not your history books, not your mathematics. The only book which is divine, that you could study not only the text, but you could study the location of the text. Why did Borei Olam put this parasha next to its neighbor to the right and its neighbor to the left? And the Gemara does this always. Ne'emar le'ma'ala, ne'emar le'mata. The Gemara makes all sorts of derashot. As a matter of fact, the pasuk says, Mishpete Adonai emet, tzadiku yahdav. The sentences in the Torah of God are all emet. Mishpete Adonai emet. Every single pasuk in the Torah is 110% unadulterated emet. That is the only emet in the world, is the pesukim of the Torah. Mishpete Adonai emet. But not only that, tzadiku yahdav. That when you put them together, When you put them one next to each other, there's also tzedek in that as well. There's also righteousness, there's also amityut, there's also veracity in that style of a derashah as well. The al-Sheikh, the great darshan, he compared the letters of the Torah to stones, avanim, like rocks. And when somebody takes two rocks and you rub them together, so you get a spark, a flame comes out. That's what they used to make fires in the olden days. They would rub two stones together. So he says, when you take two letters of the Torah, two otiyot, two stones that are next to each other, and instead of being doresh, each one separately, you bring them together, and you're doresh simuchim, you're rubbing the stones together, and from the stones come out nitzotzot shel kedushah, comes out these holy sparks, and therefore he says it's incumbent upon the reader, which is us, to try to bring out the sparks from the Torah kedushah. And how do you bring out these sparks? You rub the letters together. Simuchim. When you rub the letters against each other, we don't see the sparks. It's not flammable in the sense that we have to be concerned that, God forbid, something's going to happen. But I'll tell you one story that the Tosafot brings down in Masechet Hagigah. There was a Brit Milah of, actually it was the Brit Milah of Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya eventually became a rabbi that went off to Derech. He was the rabbi of the Bimeir. Anyway, the story is told that Avuya, his father, was a rich man. He was from the Gedolei Yerushalayim. So at the circumcision of Elisha, he invited all the rabbis. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was there, Rabbi Yoshua, might have been Rabbi Tarfon as well. The Gedolei Yisrael wanted the Brit Milah. And it seems the Brit Milah was delayed for whatever reason. Maybe the caterer or the photographer, for one of the reasons, whatever Milah gets delayed for. So the rabbi said, we're not going to waste our time in this bitul. Let's go into the room and we'll sit and learn a little. So it says, they started to study and they went from Torah to Nevi'im and to Nevi'im to Ketubim. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the derashot, it says a fire came down from the heaven. And Elisha, Avuya, the Baal HaBayit came into the room and said, oh, Hakamim, what are you doing? You came to burn down my house? What kind of business is this? They said, no, you have nothing to worry about. This is not a fire of destruction. This is a fire of construction. This is the fire of Torah. It's a pleasurable fire. This is the fire of Sinai. It doesn't destroy. It's a blessing. Avuya was so impressed. He said, if this is the power of Torah, I want my son to go to yeshiva, and I want him to also tap into this holy fire. So you know what the pshat is, where this fire came from? Because they weren't just studying Torah. The way the Tosafot explains it is, they went from Torah to Nevi'im, and to Nevi'im to Ketuvim, which means they were connecting. They were connecting the Torah to the Navi. And then they were connecting the Nevi'im to Ketuvim, which means they were doing the Inyan of Simuchim. They were rubbing the letters next to each other. If they were just learning them separately, it should have said they studied Torah, they studied Navi, they studied Ketuvim. No, it's Torah le-Nevi'im, which means they linked them together. When they linked them together, I mean, they took the last word of the Torah and they linked it to the first word of the book of Yoshua. The last word of the Hamisha Hamshe Torah to the first word of the Navi. And then the last word of the Navi to the first word of the Ketubim. They were rubbing the letters together. What happens when you rub the stones together? A fire comes out. So we're involved tonight in a very holy thing. If in the middle of the class, all of a sudden, you see a fire on top of the ceiling, I'm telling you from now, you shouldn't be scared. You shouldn't be scared. When I was preparing it at home, also, there was a fire. You don't have to get scared. This is the fire of the Nitzotzot that we're going to bring out, Bezat Hashem, from the Holy Torah. But already, if we're talking about this, I have to say one interesting fact. There was a great rabbi. His name was Abiliyahu HaKohen from Izmir. Rabbi Eliyahu HaKohen Mi'izmir lived about 350 years ago. He lived in the year He'taf. That's 5,400. So it's about 369 years ago. He was a great rabbi. He authored many sefarim that we're familiar with. One of his famous sefarim is Shevet HaMusar, which is a classic book on Musar. Another book that he wrote was Mi'il Tzedakah, which is a classic compendium on all the ethics of charity. And he wrote countless other sefarim. But one sefer that he wrote, which is, it's not so well studied, but it's a very important sefer, is the sefer that I have here tonight that I'm going to showcase to you. And that is called Sefer Simuchim La'ad. What he did was, the great rabbi, and he was a great rabbi. Before I tell you about his sefer, just so you know the magnitude of this tzaddik, I'll just tell you two stories about the Eliyahu HaKohen from Izmir. Be'ezat Hashem, mentioning him, Zecher Tzaddik Levracha. The mentioning of the tzaddik should bring us beracha. In the year Taf Mem Het, that's 5448, in Turkey, there was a massive earthquake. An earthquake that destroyed almost every building. And Bar Minan, there was 400 Jews, Tzaddikim v'Hasidim, that were buried and got destroyed during this earthquake. It was a terrible, terrible tragedy. There have been books that talk about it. Chaim Palachi many times refers to the great earthquake in the year Taf Mem Het in Turkey. The rabbi writes that God made a miracle for him. He was in a building at the time, and he was surrounded by four stone walls. And when the earthquake started, he thought it's all over. So he had a Kabbalah that during an earthquake he stood up on his legs and he started to recite over and over again, Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Yimloch Le'olam Va'ed, Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Yimloch Le'olam Va'ed. And I said it over and over and over again, and then the walls came tumbling down, and I just said, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And all of a sudden I found myself, he says, in a pit surrounded by four sides of rubble, which means the walls caved in and formed like a pit, and he was just right in the center. Not one brick touched him. He says, "Behazdeh Hashem, I was saved." So he was definitely a man of great stature. His stature was also obviously respected in the Shamayim. The next chief rabbi of Turkey was Rav Chaim Abul Afia. Rav Chaim Abul Afia writes about Rabbi Eliyahu HaKohen Me'Izmir, that in this generation we haven't seen a rabbi like this. Neshalish ul Rabbiya lo shamanu, he says. We haven't found a third of such a man, or even a quarter of such a man. That was the magnitude. He himself writes in one of the sefarim, just as a matter of fact, not as a, he was a very humble man, extremely humble. He writes in one of his sefarim how he had many conversations with spirits. He was involved in many different exorcisms, and they told him what Gehinnom looks like, and they told him what the Olamot looked like. He said one time he had a difficult time trying to take out a spirit from a lady that was possessed, or from a man that was possessed, and he made a harem on the Ruach, and he said, I command you in the name of the Shemot HaKedoshim that you must leave. So he says the spirit was a wise guy. It left the body, but it went into the person's hair. So technically it left the body, but it was hovering in his hair, and his hair stood up like iron rods, and you couldn't move his hair. It became like metal pieces. So he commanded the barber to take a certain type of tar made out of metal, like an iron saw, in order to start cutting these metal hairs that were standing up in this guy's head. And as he was cutting it, the hairs were pressing against the blade and tried to break the blade. He says, "B'chazdei Hashem, using the different kavanot, we were finally able to, you know, cut all the guy's hair off, and the book left the person." So you're dealing with a man over here of great spirituality. He came from, like I said, a different planet. So one of his books that he wrote was the book Simuchim La'ad, where he goes through the whole Torah, and he explains us the connection between why one pasuk is written to the next pasuk. This was his forte. The reason why I'm using this tonight is because there is a tradition that we have that there's a connection between the last pasuk in the Torah and the first pasuk in the Torah. The last pasuk in the Torah is Ulchol Ayad Hazaka Ulchol Amora Gadol Asher Asa Moshe LeEnei Kol Yisrael. And the first pasuk in the Torah is, of course, Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz. And our tradition says that we're not allowed to make a separation between the last pasuk in the Torah and the first pasuk in the Torah. I had the zechut yesterday to receive the last aliyah of the Torah, which we call Hatan Torah, where we read the whole Vezot HaBeracha, and we finish with the last pasuk in the Torah. Our custom is to repeat the last pasuk twice. Le'enei kol Yisrael. Now, we make the Beracha Asher Natananu. Normally, the one that finishes the reading of the parasha, at that point would have to say Kaddish. Normally a Kaddish is said at that point. However, we don't want to separate between the end of the Torah and the beginning of the Torah. So immediately, the next Oleh stands right behind us. He's called the Hatan Bereshit. And right away he makes the Beracha, and we start immediately Bereshit Bara Elohim. So if there's any two Pesukim that you see are linked with each other, it's the last Pasuk in the Torah is connected to the first pasuk of the Torah. So it's incumbent upon us tonight, Be'azat Hashem, if we shesi atad ishmaya, to rub the stones together. We need to rub Le'enei Kol Yisrael against Bereshit, to see exactly what holy sparks are going to manifest and are going to come out. So I'm just going to give you some of the ideas that the Miriam HaKohen said, and then we'll offer some novel ideas as well. I didn't count how many we have down here, but we'll start. Number one. What I love about these derashot is the following. I'm preparing the ground for the derashot. The Torah is amazing. You hear a derasha, and you say to yourself, that's it. Beautiful. That's the hiddush. I love it. And then you hear the next one, and you say, oh, that's just as beautiful. You know what? That's the one. And then you hear the third one, you say, you know what, forget about the last two. The third one is emet, which means the Torah is so beautiful and can be understood on so many different levels that each one, so this is red licorice, and this is brown licorice, and this is a green jelly bean. They're all delicious, they're all candy. So what's the difference? Everyone tastes just as good. The first one he says is like this. The last pasuk in the Torah talks about Yitziat Mitzrayim. It says, with kol hayad hazakah, the hand of God, that she explains that hand of God is referring to the miracles that he did for us in Egypt. On a simple understanding is the miracles that Moshe Rabbeinu did for us, the 10 plagues when he took us out of Egypt. So there's a question, a famous question that's asked. The 10 commandments, how do they begin? Anochi Adonai Elohecha asher otziticha me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am the God that took you out of Egypt. Comes all the rabbis and ask, why doesn't it say, I am the God that created the world? Go back to the beginning. What do you have to say? I am the God that took you out of Egypt. Get to the source. Anochi Hashem Elohecha asher barati shamayim va'aretz. And the answer the Rishonim bring down is that we all know that God created the heavens and the earth, but there were no witnesses. There were no eyewitnesses. Nobody saw it with their own eyes. What we can testify on beyond a shadow of a doubt is the miracles that happened in Egypt. Once already, we can testify that God was able to change all the Sidrei HaBriah. God was able to make darkness for 6 days. God was able to turn water into blood. God was able to bring wild animals and to wreak havoc in certain places of Mitzrayim. God was able to split the sea into 12 paths. That means God had full control of the nature. That means what? Only the one that controls and creates the nature can change the nature. And that must mean that God is the creator. Which means, what's the proof for us that God created the world? The proof is the miracles of Mitzrayim. Because if the one that can make the miracles of Mitzrayim, he has to be the one that created the world. Avraham Abinu once was challenged by Nimrod. Nimrod said that he's God. Avraham said, I have no problem in believing you, but I need a proof. So Nimrod said, what type of proof do you need? He says, tomorrow morning, instead of the sun rising in the east and setting in the west, let the sun rise in the west and set in the east. I'm good. If you can do that, I worship Nimrod. Sign me up, subscribe me. I want to become a member of Yeshua. So Nimrod, he knows he can't do that. Why can't he do it? Because he didn't create the sun. So if you didn't create the sun, you have no control to change the pattern of the sun. So what did he do? Instead, he took Avraham Avinu and threw him into the fiery furnace, which is another way of saying he lost the debate. So if you can't answer, so you kill the guy. That's the only way you can win that debate. But the point is, only God, the Creator, can change the nature. So our proof, for us at least, how do we know that God created the world? Yeshua Mitzrayim. Hence we have the connection. ולכל היד החזקה ולכל המורה הגדול אשר עשה משה לעיני כל ישראל, all those miracles that Moshe Rabbeinu did in the name of God in Mitzrayim, that's the proof that what? Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-ares. Sparks, we just rub the stones together. That's the connection between the two pesukim. Shtabach Shem Olad. Number two, if you look in the beginning of Parashat Bereshit, the Pesukim that talk about the creation, you will not find the name of God Yudke Vavke. We call that Havaya. Havaya is the name of God of Rahamim, of mercy. Not only won't you find it, but all you see is the name Elohim, and you actually see it 32 times. The name Elohim is mentioned in Ma'aseh Bereshit. Incidentally, how are you going to remember that? The last letter of the Torah is what? Yisrael, Lamed. The first letter of the Torah is what? Bet, Bereshit, Lamed Bet. Corresponding to 32 times that the name Elohim is mentioned in this parasha. Elohim is a name of judgment. Not only judgment, strict judgment. When God created the world, the Midrash writes, Allah b'machshava, God's original intent was what? Libro ha'olam bedin. God's original intent was, there is no mercy in this world. Everything is going to be judgment. Wow. Not so simple to live in judgment. Very few people would exist for more than a few minutes if we had to live according to strict judgment. That means one avera, boom, lightning. A person eats something that's not kasher, henek, alam akohom. Person turns on a light on Shabbat, finished, electrocuted. Bar mitzvah, midat hadin is strict to the letter of the law. No clemency, no mercy. And that's the way God originally thought to create the world, Bereshit bara Elohim. But then he says, he saw it's too difficult, that most people can't live in that system. So later on in Parashat Bereshit, it says, God added Yudke Vavke to the creation. It says later on in the Parashah, Biyom Bero Hashem Elohim Shamayim Vares. Good thing for us. The only reason we're able to walk in the street in this world over here, we have teshuvah, we have hope, and we have a chance, it's because Yudke Vavke eventually was included in the system. No, that's the Gemara. But can I ask you a question? And please, I don't want to be disrespectful. Who cares what HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought in the inception? What do I have to know God's What do I have to know God's first thought? He originally thought to do it this way, but at the end of the day, he didn't do it. So, listen, I'm a bottom line person. I want to know, Lamaseh, what did God do? I don't have to have the whole thought process. He was going to create it this way, but he said it's too difficult. So then, bottom line, am I living in a world with Havaya? Yes. Good, that's why I'm happy. I don't care how I got there. So you know what the holy books bring down? that you have to know this because certain people, God judges them according to the original plan. And those are the tzaddikim gemurim. For example, Yitzhak Abinu. Just take one example that we know. Yitzhak Abinu, he lived his life according to the original plan. That's why you don't hear too much about Yitzhak Abinu. Avraham Abinu, we can tell you stories a bit to tomorrow. Yaakov Abinu, the whole book of Bereshit tells stories. Yitzhak, a few stories. Why? Because we can't relate to Yitzhak Abinu. Yitzhak Abinu is a creation that was judged, strict judgment, and he lived a long life. That shows you the degree of religiosity Yitzhak Abinu had. It shows you the level of intensity of Yitzhak Abinu. He was able to live in a world of deen, of geburah. But that doesn't talk to us. So therefore, we just mention him a little, whatever, some stories, he dug some wells, it's stuff that we don't understand too much. Because we don't live like that. We come from a different world. You know who else lived like that? Listen to a Gemara. Oh, the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu was looking at the future generations. So he saw Rabbi Akiva. He saw Rabbi Akiva expounding on the letters of the Torah, expounding on the tagim, on the crowns of the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was so impressed. So Moshe Rabbeinu tells God, such a great man like this, show me his reward. What is Rabbi Akiva? What is he destined to get? And they showed him how the Romans went and they raked his flesh without any mercy. And they ended up taking the flesh of Rabbi Akiva, the Tzaddik, the Kadosh, and they used it as a weight in order to measure against it in the markets in Rome. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw this, and he tells God, Zu Torah v'zu schara? God, it doesn't make any sense. Is this the Torah, and is this the reward? And you know what God answers? Kach ala b'machshava. This is what my idea was. You know what the answer of God was? This was my machshava when I created the world. This was my havanina. Kach ala b'machshava. This is my original intent that I created the world in deen. Rabbi Akiva is from those special tzaddikim that reach the level that they live in the world of deen, the tzaddikei ador. And if you can ask a question, this is from Yitzhak Avinu's derech. Therefore, kach ala b'machshava, otherwise makes no sense. Moshe Rabbeinu says, this is what you do to him? God says, this is my idea. I ask you a question, what's the answer? Kach ala b'machshava. No, what God was answering, that's machshava, like it says, ala b'machshava livro ha'olam b'deen. Rabbi Akiva comes from the Havamina. Yeah? We pray every day in the Tefillah, V'ha'er einenu b'toratecha. What does it mean? You should enlighten our eyes in Torah. V'ha'er einenu b'toratecha. Please God, illuminate our eyes to the Torah, which means we're praying when we come to the shiur, we want to understand it. We want our brains to be opened up, that we should have a clarity in what we're learning. But you know what some of the mefarshim say this is? We're not praying necessarily for ourselves. You know who the einei ha'eda are? You know who the eyes are? Those are the leaders. Those are the gedolei Yisrael. They're considered the eyes of the generation. Because the eyes are on top, they're on the head. And therefore we pray every day that God should give strength and clarity and guidance and understanding to our eyes. Who are our eyes? The leaders of the generation. They should make the right psakim. They should make the right rulings. They should give us the right advice. They need siyata d'shvayat to run a nation. Therefore we pray for the gedolei Yisrael, v'ha'er einenu b'toratecha. I'm just showing you that the leaders of Israel, the tzaddikim, are called einei ha'eda. Oh, now we understand. Le'ene kol Yisrael. That's the last letters of the Torah. Who's Eine kol Yisrael? The tzaddikim of the generation. Oh, the tzaddikim of the generation. Bereshit bara Elohim. They're under the deen. They're under Elohim. That's Rabbi Akiva. That's Yitzhak Avinu. The Eine kol Yisrael. The eyes of Israel. Oh, they have to be careful. I don't want to deter anybody from becoming a tzaddik. It's okay to be a tzaddik. Borei Olam has a hashbonot. You shouldn't say, Rabbi said that it's too difficult to become a tzaddik. No, you should continue becoming a tzaddik. Don't give up hope. But the Eine kol Yisrael, Bereshit bara. What a depth. What a depth. And I know you're thinking in your brain as I'm saying, does this really emit? Did God mean this when he wrote the Torah? Is this some concoction that... No, this is what was intended. This is in the Torah itself. This was part of the Kavanot. The rubbing of the stones together. We'll say another interpretation. I'm not going to test you at the end to ask you for all the interpretations. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. The Mishnah says like this. Shimon HaTzadik haya mishiyare keneset hagedola. Hu haya omer. Ashlosha devarim ha'olam omed. Al ha'Torah ve'al ha'avodah ve'al gemilut hasadim. Shimon HaTzadik was from the remnants. From the leftovers, from the Shiareh, from the last of the Mohicans, Lavdil. He was from the end of the period of the men of the Great Assembly. Mishiareh Knesset HaGedola. And he taught three things. The world stands on three pillars. Torah is a pillar. Avodah, which is prayer, is a pillar. And Gemilut Hasadim. Those are the three pillars of the world. The world stands on those three pillars. So ask yourself a question. Rabbi Shimon, you taught me a great Hiddush. And this is, every child knows this. The three pillars that the world stands on, Torah, Avodah, Gemilut Hasadim. And I'm very thankful that the rabbi that wrote the Mishnah gave me a little biography about Shimon. Shimon HaTzadik, that they told me he was a member of the Great Assembly. I'm very thankful for that information. Because I'd like to know who's giving me the Hiddush over here. And the men of the Great Assembly have to know what a body that was. That was the original Knesset. Not like the Knesset you have today, the Avdil in Israel. They tried to model it after this Knesset. The original Anshei Knesset had 120 members. That was the parliament. So in the Knesset in Israel, they also have 120 members. That's the only thing they have in common. The amount of members that they have. If even that, I don't even know if that is in common. But in any event, they had Sheikh Knesset Gedolah. Oh, what a body of people. Scholars of the highest caliber. Some of them were actually prophets. Ezra Sofer was a member of the Sheikh Knesset Gedolah. Haggai, Malachi, yet some prophets amongst some of the greatest scholars of Israel sat on that body called the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. Good, so I'm very happy to know that Shimon HaTzadik was a member. But it doesn't just tell me he was a member. It says he was like the Shiareh Knesset. He was from the last members. After Shimon HaTzadik, it seems the body dissolved. What do I have to know that for? Do I care if he was a charter member? Or that he was the last member? What does the Mishnah have to tell me? Mishiyare Knesset Gedolah? You hear my question? Maybe this never bothered any of you. But I think there's an answer to it. You know what happened? As long as the men of the Great Assembly had that body, the Jewish people were very confident and comfortable that the world will exist, there's going to be peace, there's going to be tranquility, because during the time of the Great Assembly, you had, first of all, the Beit HaMikdash, many years, sacrifices were being brought, The men of the Great Assembly introduced the Talmud to the Jewish people, the Torah Sheba'al Peh, the Mishnah, and therefore as long as the men of the Great Assembly were around, the Jewish people were confident that this body over here, this unit, brings Beracha to Am Yisrael and we're going to have existence. But what happened? They saw over the years the body in Parliament started to dwindle. And the Anshei Knesset HaGedola eventually became Ketana. It got mitigated. It got very small. To the extent there was only one surviving member left. And that was Shimon HaTzaddik. He was the last surviving member. And you know what happened in Klal Yisrael? They started to panic. And they said, that's it. After Shimon HaTzaddik dies, the world is going to be destroyed. With him is going to go all the Kiddusha, which means with no more surviving members of this great body, it's going to be with the world. Just like we say sometimes. When a great rabbi passes away, I remember when the Gedolei Yisrael passed, when Rav Moshe Feinstein passed away, and then Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, or before that, and then the great Gedolei Yisrael passed away, we would say, that's it, the world's coming to an end. That's it, the sun is going to come in tomorrow morning. Yeah? Because we understood that the world stands on the Gedolim. And when there's no Gedolim, then the world is destroyed. So Shimon HaTzaddik says, don't worry, the world's not going to cave in. Even after I go, you should know the Torah stands on Torah, the world stands on Torah, Avodah, and Gemilut Hasadim. Even though I am from Shiyare Keres the Gedolah, you have nothing to worry about. As long as you stand and study Torah, and as long as you pray and you do avodah, and as long as you do it with hasadim, don't worry about it. So he was giving a reassurance to Klal Yisrael that you shouldn't have to worry. Torah will preserve the world. Hesed will preserve the world. Tefillah will preserve the world. You know the first word of our parasha Bereshit, wrongly interpreted in the beginning, but that's for a different shiur. It's something so basic. In the beginning, wrong, mistake number one. You didn't even start yet, you made a mistake. But that's for another shiur. The Gemara's Doresh Bereshit, the world was created because of the item that is called Reshit. What is called Reshit? The Jewish people are called Reshit. The Torah is called Reshit. Terumah, the tithes that you give the Kohen, that's also called Reshit. And the Gemara lists a whole list of things that the world was created because of. That means the world stands because of the Jewish people. The world stands because of the Torah. The world stands because people giving their Terumot, that's called Reshit as well, Reshit Tevuato. Oh, now we understand the connection. You ready? Now we take the two stones together and we start to rub them together. Simuchim la'ad le'onam. At the end of the Torah, who dies? Moshe Rabbeinu. Am Yisrael saw it. Le'enei kol Yisrael. They saw it with their own eyes. Moshe Rabbeinu was not just the last member of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Moshe Rabbeinu is the paradigm leader of Klal Yisrael. And Am Yisrael did not know how we're going to go on. He went up for 40 days, and he was a few hours late according to their calculation, and they panicked. They panicked so much just because of a miscalculation of a few hours. They went nuts. The whole world went crazy. Could you imagine now when Moshe Rabbeinu finally really did demise in front of their eyes? This is impossible. We're not going to be able to exist. The world is going to come to a crashing end. Moshe Rabbeinu is not here anymore. There can't be a world without Moshe. He's the Goel. It's not just they lost the Gadol. They lost the Gadol Ador of the generations forever. Never there will be a Moshe Rabbeinu again. They lost the greatest prophet. They lost their connection to God. They lost everything. Klal Yisrael became so despondent. Le'enei kol Yisrael. So the Torah right away comes along and says, oh, don't worry. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim v'taretz. Bishvil Torah shenekla Reshit. Torah will preserve the world. Bishvil Yisrael, that's the chesed that you give, the tzedakah that you give, which means the Torah comes to reassure you. Al Torah v'al avodah v'gevut hasadim. Bereshit, don't worry, Moshe Rabbeinu's gone. The world's not going to cave in. The sun's going to come out tomorrow morning as well. Bereshit bara Elohim the shamayim v'ta'aretz. The sparks are flying. This we should have brought maybe a extinguisher to the clash. The bashim went on. We didn't finish. By no means we didn't finish. We're just warming up in the derashot. Okay, let's see how we're going to explain this one. If you look at Rashi, on the last words of the Torah, Le'ainei Kol Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu did something in front of all of Israel. Le'ainei, in front of their eyes, he did something. So Rashi tells us, what did he do? What was the spectacle that Moshe Rabbeinu did in front of the eyes of all of Israel? So Rashi says, "Shenesa'o libo," he elevated himself, "Lishbor haluchot," he smashed the tablets. Like the pasuk says, "Va'ashaberem le'enechem," Moshe Rabbeinu says, "I broke them in front of your eyes." And God agreed with him. As a matter of fact, God told him, Yishar kohacha sheshibarta. God told him, Hazaku baruch, good job. The holy books bring down, it's brought down in the Midrash, actually in Kohelet, that you should know when the luchot were broken, it wasn't just like somebody dropped a lalik vase on the floor. And okay, so you pick up the pieces, Humpty Dumpty. No, the breaking of the luchot, something changed dramatically in the world at that moment. Which means, there's the world before the luchot are broken, and then there's the world after the luchot are broken. It's like Lehavdil, 9/11. There's the world before 9/11, and then once those towers come down, it's a different world. We're living in a different world. It's different olam, as we know. So the breaking of the luchot, you have to know there was a great change in the current of the world. In what sense? So the Midrash brings that in Kohelet. Until that point, there was no such thing as forgetting your learning. A person would learn, he'd remember his learning. The brains were magnetic. Anything that went in, stayed. There was no such thing as shechata Torah. Retention was 100%. A person would learn something 10 years before. By the way, he could recall it, he remembers it clear, crystal clear, the question, the answer, the whole sugya. Once the luchot were broken, what happened exactly when the luchot were broken? If you remember, the letters were etched on the stone. When he threw it, the letters left the stone, otiyot parhot. That means the Torah left the stone. That already brought forgetfulness. From that moment, it's possible that Torah can leave a person. It can enter, but it can also exit. As a matter of fact, there's an interesting Gemara that says, what did they do with those broken pieces, by the way? They were holy, at least they had Kiddusha in it. So the Torah says that they actually placed the broken tablets in the Aron, where the keepers were. They kept the broken tablets as well. Shivrei luchot munahim ba'aron, the Gemara says. And from here the Gemara learns a halakha, that if you see a Talmid Hakam that went senile, Bar Minan. Talmid Hakam, he got, God forbid, the Alzheimer's disease of some sort. But he forgot all his learning. He doesn't know anything anymore. You ask him a question, he doesn't know Aleph Bet. He forgot everything. He's empty. The Gemara says, you have to stand up for him. You have to afford him the respect as a Tamid Hakam. And what's the Gemara's proof? Shivrei Luchot Munahim Ba'aron. That the broken tablets are also placed in the Aron. So this Tamid Hakam is a broken tablet. He had the Torah, but he forgot it. You have to afford him the respect, just like we afford the broken tablets respect. But that's the source of forgetfulness, from the Luchot. So ask yourself a question. Why would God tell Moshe, Yishar kohacha, very good you broke it. Well, God wants us to forget the Torah? God wants us to forget our learning? Why is God so excited to tell Moshe, Chazak u'baruch, Yishar kohacha? You know what the explanation is? It's a good thing that we forget. Why? Because just think of what the world would look like if we didn't forget our learning. We'd go through the Daf Yomi one cycle, 7 years we'd spend, you know, learn every Daf, get it clear. After 7 years, you could test us from Masechet Nidah to Masechet Berachot, from the beginning to the end, everything is registered. And now for the next 80 years, what are you going to do? I don't have to learn. I know it already. I don't forget it. I have it in my brain. So you know what you can do for the next 80 years? Mischief. Trouble. Now you're going to have a lot of time on your hands. Boredom's going to set in. Oh, and they're going to say, go to class. For what? Maybe you learned something. You test me. Test me. Ask me. I know everybody. Just test me. But you learned it 15 years ago. Ask me. If I don't know it, I'll go to the class. Ask me. Ask me any question. And the guy's going to know it's cold. So he's not going to go to class anymore. And what's going to end up happening? When there's no learning, then all of a sudden, the guy's going to get into all sorts of averot. So forgetting our learning is actually a blessing. Because that forces us what? Oh, so I did the whole daf. I learned 7 years. Okay, what do you know? I can't remember anything. Ask me on yesterday's daf. I can't tell you anything. Okay, good. So what is that going to force you to do? You got to come back again. But I learned Masechet Berachot again. Okay, go. Tell me something about Masechet Berachot. Tell me the name of the fourth perek. Forget about the Hiddush. Oh, so you have to come back again. So forgetfulness keeps a person learning. And therefore it's a good thing. And therefore it's actually a blessing. Oh. That's why God told Moshe, Yishar kohacha, beautiful. You did a good thing. Now Klai Yisrael have to learn every single day. That's why if you look at the end of Masechet Nida, the last Masechet in Shas, person finishes the whole Shas. Oh, he's all excited. He finished Shas. But you know what happens at the end of Shas? Just as excited as he is to finish it, he's more depressed. Because he says, I studied the whole Shas. I took almost a decade of my life. And he starts to say, what do I remember from all this? And they start asking him a question, Kiddushin, I remember something vaguely, I remember a case like that. Was that in Kiddushin? Was that in Gittin? Was that in Menachot? Everything is discombobulated in his brain. So he's excited that he finished, but the forgetfulness gives him a little halishut adat. And you know what the end of the Shas, you know what the line over there is? Tana de Beliyahu, kol ashone halachot bechol yom muftach lo shu ben olam abba. We re-encourage the student and we say, you can't just learn for 7 years of your life. That wasn't the plan of God. You want to go to olam abba? Kol ashone halachot bechol yom. That's why you have to learn every single day of your life, because you forget. And don't worry, if you forget, you're a human being. And God did that on purpose, because He doesn't want you to learn just for 7 years and then you're going to retire. He wants you to learn every single day. That's where your Olam Haba is in. So you forgot, good. You're part of the program. You're a result of the broken tablets. So that re-encourages the student. And that's why right when we finish Masechet Nidah, what's the first thing we do? Start Berachot all over again. That's why you have to start all over again. Because if you didn't start all over again, you're not going to know it because you're going to forget. Ah, now we understand. Ladies and gentlemen, didn't we study Parashat Bereshit last year? Every year we come, we did Bereshit, we did Noah, we screamed, we yelled, we moved our hands, we lost our voice, we said Derashot, everything, we did it already. And I'm going to give you a secret. We did it 2 years ago as well. Go into the tape library, we have a lot of Mahzorim on Parashat Bereshit and Noah. What are we doing again? Tafshin Samichtet? Here we come again. B'siman Ataba. Welcome. Good evening to another edition. How many editions already? Rabbi, it's the same old, same old. Parashat Bereshit again. And your explanation is? Le'enei kol Yisrael. When Moshe Rabbeinu threw the tablets in front of all Yisrael, we forgot. Therefore, Bereshit bara Elohim. Start again. Rewind the tape. As a result of Le'enei kol Yisrael, Bereshit bara Elohim, you gotta learn it again. Because if you didn't break the tablets, period, you don't gotta do anything. You're done, you're done. Magnet. But as a result of what happened in front of the eyes of Israel, Bereshit bara Elohim, you gotta start all over again. May I offer the final pshat of the evening, and then I'll let you go. Don't trust me, because sometimes I don't let you go when I say that. Might let you go. Without getting confusing, there's 5 books in the Torah. Our tradition tells us that every Jew corresponds to one of the letters of the Torah. Much has been written on this. Sadia Gaon has a whole arichut on this. Yisrael, yesh shishim ribo otiyot la Torah. There's 600,000 letters in the Torah, and there's also supposedly 600,000 neshamot in the Torah. And each neshama of every Jew corresponds to another ot in the Torah. And Rav Saadia Gaon makes the calculation. You count it, you're not going to find 600,000 letters. He makes the whole hezbon on it. He said he had to ask angels to get this pshat because he didn't understand it. It's the whole thing, but take it for superficial value. You and me as well. We have our source and our origin in one of the letters of the Torah. That's clear. Oh. We know that God's name is Yudke Vavke. So the holy books bring down that Perashat or Sefer Shemot, the book of Shemot, is Keneged Yud of God's name. And Vayikra is Keneged He. And Bamidbar Keneged Vav. And Devarim Keneged He. So what is Bereshit Keneged? Bereshit is Keneged Kutsot Shel Yud. On the Yud itself there's a little tail that comes on top of the yud. That's the highest madrega, without getting into the whole situation. But we know there's 4 worlds. Atzilut being the highest world, and then Biriya, Yisira, Asiya. That's keneged yud ke vavke. But above the Atzilut is one higher level. That's the most loftiest place. That's not the yud. That's the little dot on top of the yud. That's the highest word. The book of Bereshit is Kenegedat Olam, the holiest world, Adam Kadmon. All the letters in Parashat Bereshit correspond to the holiest souls. The holiest souls, I don't know if we come from Parashat Bereshit, I'm sorry to tell you. Moshe Rabbeinu, his soul already is probably in the word Bereshit. And the first, the Dor De'ah, the generation of the redemption that came out of Mitzrayim, the greatest generation ever in history, that's from the letters of Parashat Bereshit. And as the Torah progresses, so too the generations. So too the generations. And you know what the generation before Mashiach comes, which many people are talking already today, that could be our generation. And there's a lot of signals and there's a lot of signs, and we've talked about it in the past. our generation, the Dor Ekbeta de Mashiha, they compare it to the lowest neshamot. Those are the neshamot compared to the Shevirat Aluhot. Those are the broken souls. Those are the broken tablets. Those are the neshamot that are found all the way at the end of the Torah. You want to know where found? Where Le'enei Kol Yisrael, those last letters refer to the breaking of the tablets. That's the last, the residual neshamot in the final generation. What are we? We're broken tablets compared to the earlier generations. We have no Torah. We have no tefillah. We have nothing. What are we? Dor Yatom. We're a weak generation. Yeah, we're putting our best foot forward. We're trying, no question about it. But we ask ourselves, if God didn't bring the Mashiach in the earlier generations, He's going to bring the Mashiach now. How much? On the contrary, the holy books bring down that because we're such a low generation, because we're considered Shivrei Luchot, and still we're trying as hard as we can, God's going to see our effort and He's going to measure it according to the capacity that we have. And Adrabah, the Geula specifically comes from the generation of the Ekev, of the lowest generation, the generation of the heel, of the Neshamot, of the lowest Madrigah. That's us. And therefore, just like God brought the redemption in the generation of Bereshit, that's the first generation, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Le'enei Kol Yisrael is going to be connected to Bereshit. Which means the lowest generation is going to be redeemed in the miracles and the Ge'ula. Just like the generation of Bereshit. There's a connection between the two, between the last generation and the first generation of the Ge'ula. The neshamot of the Shivrei Luchot and the neshamot of Bereshit, of the head of Adam Rishon, of the Kutzot Shel Yud, those holy days. Yeah, they're linked. Which means we're going to be redeemed. And that's what the rabbis alluded when they said, Hen ga'alti etchem. God says, I am going to redeem you. Aharit kereshit. The last letters of the Torah, those low neshamot, they're going to connect with the reshit. They're going to connect with those holy, lofty souls of reshit, of Moshe Rabbeinu. Oh, this is something we have to look forward to. We're Shivrei Luchot, we're a broken Luchot. But the miracles are going to take place. Who was that said? All the prophecies that were said to our generation. And who's going to redeem us? Dor Reshit. There's going to be a connection. You shouldn't think that we're forsaken. Either once you get to the end of the Sefer Torah, Le'enei Kol Yisrael, the end of the time, when you get to Dor Ekbetat Mashiach, no, you go right back to the redemption again. It starts again, and it's going to happen. And it's happening. And we're living through it already. This is not my talk. All the Rosh Hashivas are talking already today in this. We're not giving predictions. Nobody gives predictions. That's not our business to give predictions. But Rosh Hashiva Mashiach can come tomorrow. Maybe not on Erev Shabbat. He can come on Shabbat, Sunday. That's not for us to start giving predictions. But we have to know that nobody should be despondent and say, he's not going to come in our generation. He will come in Adrabah. That's when he comes. Once you get to the generation of the Shivrei Luchot, then already you know the next line is Bereshit Barak. Bereshit. You go right back to the Bigdor De'ah, right back to the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Ga'alti Etchem Aharit Kereshit. That's the final spark. That's the final rub against the stones. That's the rubbing that Be'ezat Hashem is going to bring the Ge'ula. Look how much. And trust me, we didn't do anything. There's so much more. And that's only the connections. Look, we didn't even explain the pasuk. We just explained the juxtaposition between the two words. And look how much light was revealed. Look how much orot. Look how much kedusha was emanated from these type of derashot. Simuchim la'ad le'olam. Asuhim be'emet v'yashar. Mishpete Adonai emet. Tzadiku ya'adav. Yiratzon in the zechut. That we said some devrei Torah in the name of Rabbi Eliyahu HaKohen Vizmir. Zechuto yagin alenu. And zechut that we said these devrei Torah. Borei Olam should see we rub the stones together, the nitzotzot that we created should Bezat Hashem be a milityosher for us. Those nitzotzot of the Kedusha should go up to Borei Olam, and Bezat Hashem, there'll be a Geulah, a Harit Kereshit, Uba Nisyon Goel, Amen ve'amen. Rabbi Hananya Bekasha Amen. Asana Dvar Ezgot Yisrael Efi, Karmal Hashem Aran Hafez, Ma'am Tzidko, Yadir Torah, Ve'yadir.